is from Rose Walterman on obedience. Rose?
Thanks for being here, everybody. I'm going to talk about obedience. Okay, have you ever owned or known someone who owned a new little puppy? If you have, you probably took it to obedience school so that the puppy can learn how to not tear up your house. Also, so it can learn to obey your commands. I want to tell you a little story about two dogs that were in obedience school together. Well, they had a break between classes, and so they were standing in the hallway chatting, waiting for the next class to begin, and one dog says to the other, "Do you know what I hate most about learning all of this obedience stuff?" And the other dog says, "No, what?" He answers, "You never really use it in the real world." So we can ask ourselves, are we truly obedient to God in the real world? To be obedient means to be docile, easy to teach, easy to discipline. A word like obedience can seem foolish and almost toxic in our world today. There are two words that are synonymous: disobedience and sin. Because when we sin, we are disobedient to God. The very first sin against God was disobedience. The devil told Eve, "You will be able to determine for yourself what is good and what is evil. You will not have to take God's opinion. You will be like God." We can easily see that mindset lived out in our culture today. There's a lot of falling away from obedience to the Catholic Church, and St. Paul prophesied this in his second letter to the Thessalonians. He basically says, those who do not know God and do not obey him will suffer eternal destruction. And then we have the woke culture, who doesn't want any hierarchy. They prefer to take matters into their own hands and guide the future of the world and of religion on their own terms. The root sin of disobedience is pride, and a prideful person thinks that what they do or say is a personal matter and has no consequence on anyone else. But in reality, no sin, no act of disobedience to God is a personal matter. The way we live and the things we do has an effect on the whole body of Christ. The Catechism of the Catholic Church emphasizes this. It says that sin, which is disobedience, wounds man's nature and injures human solidarity. Sin wounds man's nature and injures human solidarity. So what does that mean? It means sin, our disobedience, poisons the whole human family. It poisons the body of Christ. For us to be truly obedient to God, we have to be very careful about what we're filling our minds with, especially regarding the mainstream media and so-called entertainment. In fact, we actually have to make a diligent effort to detach ourselves from it, because if we're not being diligent, pretty soon, without even realizing it, we begin to cooperate with evil. And it happens almost through osmosis. Before we know it, the world has formed our consciences and dulled our consciences. Is everything we let enter into our minds pure and holy? Do the movies we watch and the materials we read set our minds and hearts and our imaginations on good things? If that is not the case, there's a good chance our consciences are being dulled and our sense of sin is also being dulled. I'd like to give you a little anecdote to that. Let's say you're encouraging me to go see a certain movie, and you say, "Rose, this movie is really good. You've got to go see it." There's a couple of scenes in it there that are kind of vulgar and they use God's name in vain, but other than that, it's a really good movie. You should go see it. Well, I'm not so sure. What if I came to you and said, I know how much you like chocolate, so I made a delicious batch of chocolate fudge brownies just for you, and they're really good, but just wanted you to know I put just a little bit of dog poop in the mix. Would you still eat those brownies? If the root sin of disobedience is pride, the opposite of pride is humility. Saint Benedict wrote about the 12 steps to humility, and he mentions how obedience to those in authority is recognizing their role in God's plan. Obedience to those in authority is recognizing their role in God's plan. In addition to obedience to authority, there's another type of obedience. It's an interior obedience. It's an inspiration from the Holy Spirit. So to give you an example, let's say we feel an inspiration, like a tug in your heart, to invite someone to the Life in the Spirit seminar. But sometimes because of what you know about this person, you may feel like, why should I even bother? I'm like 99% sure they're not going to be interested anyway, and it makes me feel awkward. But out of obedient love for God and to cooperate with this inspiration, we don't pay attention to that, and we ask them anyway. Even if that person says no, I believe that God puts those inspirations in our hearts to give us a grace and to give a grace to that other person as well. We may never know how our influence on a person led them to God. In our Lighthouse Vocation prayer, every Wednesday, we even pray that the Holy Spirit stir our hearts so we may obediently answer God's call to reach out to others and share Christ's love. There's a scripture passage that we need to take very seriously. It's in Luke chapter 12. For to whom much has been given, much will be required. And the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. There's no question that we have been entrusted with much here at Lighthouse, and we are required of much. Since obedience is rooted in love, we are called to an obedient love at Lighthouse Community. So what does that look like? Well, in our Catholic faith, obedience is a moral virtue. It's not blind obedience. It's an act of submitting our own will to the will of someone else to bring about a good. God has given each one of us a purpose, a role, and a function to fulfill in this community. This is where we live out humble obedience. To grow in the virtues of obedience and humility, it requires us to be humble, docile, and willing to be taught and directed by other people, just as we are willing to be taught and directed by God. So, who are these other people? Well, obviously they are our co-directors, Janet and Rita, our ministry leaders, cast leaders, the pastoral team. It also applies to each one of us as we live in God's will for us in relation to each other. And I think most of us know that being a leader can be a complicated and messy job. Being a cast leader can be challenging. Sometimes we're called to be a mediator and a problem solver. And being a leader of a ministry can sometimes seem like a thankless job. But in obedient love, we don't grow weary in doing good, as St. Paul says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read in sacred scripture, honor those leaders who have worked so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. In obedient love, Janet and Rita spent a tremendous amount of time and energy overseeing the life of this community. They put their whole heart and soul in it, just like Sister Chris and Brother Joe used to do. and still do. And they depend on us to follow through in our commitment to our Lighthouse Covenant in order to help support the life of the community. I asked CAS leaders last May in our meeting together, "Do you know how important you are?" I told them that our CAS are the basis and heart of the community. Our CAS are the basis and heart of the community. CAS leaders have a very special calling and a pastoral responsibility because we are pastors of our small group. Sometimes we may have to speak the truth in love to a CAS member who isn't truly living out the Lighthouse Covenant. That can be a hard conversation. Are we doing that? If our CAS aren't participating in the community family, and we are a family, then the whole community suffers because we're not growing together as one heart and one mind. Obedient love demands commitment, loyalty, faithfulness, and humility. Our commitment to the Lighthouse Covenant is an act of love and is all a free gift of self. It's a promise we made to God and to each other. Do we let self-love and trifles get in the way? Each and every one of us are responsible for the life of this community. It's not just up to a select few to take care of things, and then the rest of us get to enjoy the benefits. We are all responsible for the life of this community because it is our community. Our priorities at Lighthouse are in this order. Number one is God, two is family, and three is Lighthouse. However, if we are in God's will, our families and any other aspect of our lives will certainly benefit much more than when we are out of God's will. Our community comes with so many precious attributes and blessings. We have authenticity. We share our true feelings and enjoy authentic holy friendships. We have mutuality and intimacy. We encourage each other. We have sympathy and empathy for each other when going through hard times. We forgive each other, meaning we show mercy. We speak the truth in love, which means we're honest with each other. We admit our weaknesses, which means we show humility. We respect our differences, demonstrating courtesy. We practice confidentiality. We don't gossip. We make the community a priority, demonstrating loyalty. All of these attributes are so rare out in the real world. Where else do we have the privilege of experiencing all of this? Many times it's not even in our own parishes. Our community has been set apart for sacred use. On Wednesday nights, we come together to give God our love and praise. And great triumphant praise is a way of life for us here at Lighthouse. The Holy Spirit calls us to a life of praise, and through it, the whole world is renewed. Through our praise, the whole world is renewed. Think about that. It's powerful. And not only that, praise gives us power over evil because Satan fears praise even more than prayer. He gets confused and is banished. I just want to end by saying that Lighthouse is my rock. It's a large part of who I am. It's my refuge from this harsh world. And that's because of each one of you. It's because of your steadfast faithfulness and fidelity to Lighthouse. And I thank you for that. Whether we realize it or not, we are all a precious gift to each other. So I just want to leave you with a couple of questions to ponder. You can close your eyes if you think that'll help. And I'll repeat them so you can remember what I said. Just think about this for a while. How can I better demonstrate obedience to the covenant I made to Lighthouse and encourage others to do the same? How can I better demonstrate obedience to the covenant I made to Lighthouse and encourage others to do the same. What is God truly asking of me?